Afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. It's Monday, August 12th, broadcasting from our studios in Hollywood. All right, today we got some race results from state championships for the juniors in Northern California. Also sounds from the Mount Whitney stage race held yesterday and Saturday. And also some cool sounds from Big Orange Goes Urban on an urban ride through Los Angeles. And Robert's review on ESI handlebar tape. That's right, ESI the Grip Company. Now dabbling in the handlebar tape area. So we'll have Robert's review hopefully shortly when he gets into the studio. He's running a little late today here on Bike Sport Radio. But let's get into some race results for right now. All right, Northern California Junior State Road Race Championships. The junior women's 15 to 18 taking the bronze medal. Emily Abraham riding for Team Swift. San Jose Bike Club's Kristen Wolf in second. And your winner and new state champion from Clovis riding for SB Racing, Julia Reese. Junior men's 17 to 18. Bronze medal, Team Swift's Alec Seivert. And silver medal, also from Team Swift, Ryan Clark from Petaluma, California. And your new state champion in the junior 17-18, Reese Levine, riding for Tiani Duro out of Orinda, California. Northern California and Nevada cycling state champions in the 15-16 juniors. Taking the bronze from Tiani Duro, Robbie Ferens from Stockton, California. Silver medal going to San Jose Bicycle Club's Rupert Cox from Emerald Hills, California. And your new state champion running for Team Bicycles Plus Sierra Nevada from Folsom, Connor Ellison in the juniors 15-16. All right, this was at the Dunnigan Hills Road Race. There was also several other categories as well out there. Including men's masters 55 and over. Bryant Smith taking that win for Fightin' Bobas. Men's beginners, category 5's Danik Rinaldi's No Tie. Masters 45s, Cat 4s, Lennon McLaughlin, riding for Contra Costa Cycling Club. And in the men's category 4s, Whole Athlete Specialized, Jacob Albrecht, picking up the win there. Men's category 3s, taking the bronze medal, Squadra San Francisco's Dan Tedford, second place going to Sacramento Golden Wheelman's Brian Brown, and your winner from Data Driven Athletic Racing from Folsom, California, Eric Brickler. Masters 45s and over, Team Bicycles Plus Sierra Nevada's Kerry Stockwell picking up the win there. Masters 35s, Category 1, 2, 3s, Lang Twins Winery Racing Team's Jason Griefoff was your winner there. And then men's pros and category ones, twos team, Mike's Bikes, Eric Riggs from Antelope, California, picking up that win. And in the women's pro cat, 1-2-3's Amy Shandos, riding for Folsom Bike. And in Southern California, Elite Criterium Championships, held on August 4th. Predator Cycling's Ricardo Escuela is your new state champion in the category 1s and 2 men. Women's category 1, 2, 3s, congratulations to Helen's Racing Suzanne Saunier, picking up the state championship there. And in the women's category 3s and 4s, Aqua Al Dewey San Diego Bike Club's Amelia Christensen is your new state champ. And men's category 3s, MRI Endurance Elite Juniors, Andres Morales is your new state champion. Southern California, complete results at SCNCA.org.
Hey, Brad, nice to see you.
Hey, Jen.
Wow, this looks like a new little system on the back of your truck. What's up with this rack here?
Yes, it is. That is the Rackster Duopod. Holds two bikes.
That's fantastic. And what's so special about this rack that's different from others?
Ah, well, it's nice and low, so you don't have to lift it up real high. You're still using one of those roof racks?
I am, and I'm going to tell you, I get so tired of putting my bikes on top of my car, and I've heard nightmare stories about my friends running into their garage and blowing up their forks and stuff because they forget that their bike's on top of their car.
Yes, that'll never happen with a Rackster rack.
Now, I'm kind of a low-budget bike racer. What's the price range for these things?
Ah, this is the Duopod. It's only $269.99. How about that?
That's good. Now, sometimes I need more than just two bikes. I sometimes travel with some in my car. Do they have something more than just the Duopod?
No problem. The Rackster Thorax holds three bikes. Same concept as the Rackster Duopod, and it's only $449.
Wow, I got to tell you, I really like this. Where can I get one?
Well, you'll also like it because of its lightweight. The rack itself is light because it's got composite materials in the swing arms, and you can get them in Southern California at dealers in Poway, Irvine, Costa Mesa.
Great. I live in Northern California. Is there a complete list of dealers that I can find where the Rackster is?
Yes, there is. You can find more dealers at RacksterRacks.com. That's R-A-X-T-E-R, Racks, R-A-C-K-S.com.
Wow, Brad. Thanks so much. I can't wait to get one. Nice rack.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah. All right. A little promo on Rackster Racks. We've got some upcoming events now here at Bike Sport Radio. Coming up on August 17th, that's next weekend in Southern California, the Mount Baldy Hill Climb, 12-mile course, starting in Upland and heading on up. And this year we've added a Fixie category. That's right, choose your gear wisely. Fixie race category. First 10 pre-registered Fixies get a Hutchinson Speed and Stop Fixie tire also. So, and this is a SoCal Cup event, so you will get points for SoCal Cup. Bring your Fixie out if you want to give it a try. And, again, choose your gear wisely. You can walk your bike, though. coming up August 24th and 5th, the Everest Challenge Stage Race. That's in Northern California. Starting in Bishop. And the reason they call it the Everest Challenge is 29,000 feet of climbing. That's right. Six Sierra summits all around Bishop. And it's like the best two-day stage race anywhere, pretty much. And if you're a climber, check it out. Very well-stocked support and SAG support and everything. And you can ride it self-supported as well. Most racers do. And they've got hot gourmet food at the finish. So don't miss that. That's EverestChallenge.com for full details on that. And also coming up in Northern California, yes, that's right, cyclocross season is starting. That's right, the Bay Area Super Prestige of Cyclocross Series kicks off on September 29th, that's a ways away, actually. That's the Candlestick season opener at Candlestick Park. Followed up on October 20th, November 9th, November 24th, and the finals on December 8th at Coyote Point, Northern California. So, check that out at Bay Area CX. That's BayAreaCX.com. The Cliff Bar Bay Area Super Prestige of Cyclocross. That's right, it's cyclocross season coming up. All right, so this brings us into our product review portion of our Bike Sport Radio show. Today we got Robert's review. Robert on ESI. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well, man. How's everything going today?
Oh, good, other than I got no voice.
Yeah, you can stay on that side. You can stay on that side of the room. I'm doing well right now.
Yeah, I hope it's just a bad allergy. So what do we got today? ESI?
ESI finally released some demo tape out. They were talking about it a while back about coming up with some bar tape, and it finally. The prototypes got made, and a couple of us were scrounging to get our hands on them, and I was one of the lucky ones.
And they're a handlebar grip company, right?
Yeah, ESI makes, if you've looked around the mountain bike circuit, you'll see everybody's running those silicone rubber grips.
Yes, we reviewed those a while back.
Yeah, and those things are just phenomenal. I just couldn't wait to get them on my road bike. I've broken my wrist a few times, and it's real sensitive to the road vibration and shock. And then cyclocross is really hard, and every year cyclocross time, I'm sitting there finding old gel inserts and wrapping them under my bar tape just to give a little more shock absorption. ESI saw that market, and it came up with their bar tape, and it's actually sitting in here in studio, and brought it in to let Brad fondle it. So it's an amazing tape. I've had probably close to 700-800 miles on this thing already, and it's just I've gone gloveless a few times on really hot days and not had any problems with slipping hands or the feel, the touch, the tackiness is there. You don't have that insecure feeling.
It feels a lot like their grips, actually.
It's the same material as their grips. It's a little bit thinner.
Probably machine washable?
It's actually, it is washable, actually. You can just take some Windex, some soap and water to them, and just cleaning them up. I've actually got white tape, which anybody knows white is impossible to keep clean. The other day, Gary, I called him up. I was going, okay, how do I clean the white tape to make it sparkling white again? Just a little bit of acetone. Boom, took all that black right off. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. One other great thing with this tape is there's no adhesive on it. So it sticks to itself as you're wrapping it up the bar. You can pull it as thin as you want. You can run it as thick as you want. It takes a lot of effort to rip it. So you don't be scared of you amateurs. You know, everybody, we like to wrap our own bars, but we're always scared of ripping the tape.
It reminds me of an old tape that came out in the 80s, I think, called Off the Front Handlebar Tape.
And I think that real thick.
It was real thick, and it had no adhesive, and you could take it off, throw it in your washing machine, and put it back on your bike.
Yeah, I remember that line. This one here, the nice thing about this is you can actually run it on one side for a while and then flip it over. Rewrap your bars again with it, and you've got some good long life to it. But just the shock absorption, it just really takes the bite off a lot of this road vibration. And I'm looking forward. I'm actually going to take it off my road bike and going to throw it on my cross bike as well for the season now that I'm getting that bike ready. I'm going to really give it a work there. One of the really cool things, though, I liked about the kit is the tape. He supplies for the end, where you wrap it up at the end there. That's not electrical tape. That's actually a self-adhesive, self-stick tape. It only sticks to itself.
Oh, I got
to
look at that.
Which is really cool. I really liked how that was included in the kit. And you can actually remove that tape, and it leaves no residue on there. It's awesome. It is well thought out.
Kind of like that medical tape you use or taping your body?
This will stick to itself, and it sticks to itself real good. So when you're putting it on, you want to make sure you got it where you want it. But when I took it off, it didn't leave residue on the actual bar tape, which was really neat. So, because I did mess up one time. We always do when we're wrapping. I thought I got it right, and I said, no, I don't like that wrap.
Right.
Excuse me.
Very cool.
But really, really awesome stuff. Like I said, shock absorption is great. The tackiness is right there. Gloves, no gloves, doesn't matter. You've just got a nice, firm, secure, comfortable grip. It just, when your hands wrap around it, it molds to your hands a bit, and just it's awesome. And it's, like I said, I have the prototype now, but they're ready to be released mid-September, just in time for Interbike. All the colors of the rainbow are going to be available. Check out ESI's website. They're going to have it up. MSRP is a little on the high side, but it's a tape that you can reuse and reuse. It's about $50 for the kit. It wraps just like regular road tape. No special really tricks to it. If you're familiar with wrapping bars, it's the same process. Nothing's really different. But one thing that's really nice, like I said, don't have that adhesive on the back. So if you need to unwrap, you don't need to worry about that stickiness left on the bar, having to undo that and hope that adhesive sticks. It has not moved one bit. I mean, usually tape without adhesive
slides around a little bit, separates a little bit.
It has not moved since I've had it on there, and I've been trying.
It'd be interesting to test it in the rain, in a rain ride.
Well, like I said, with my mountain bike grips, I raced this winter with the ESI grips in the rain, and I tell you what, my gloves, my hands never came off a grip on purpose. I mean, on accident, I should say. It came off on purpose. Let me rephrase that. Yes, going over the bars, I did take my hands off the grip. But no, they did not slip. The wetter it was, it seemed they just like molded in and stuck. And I think come cross season with the mud, I think the mud's going to be the factor. But I don't see it really having a problem with slippage. I know last year in the rain, I had some slippage with my regular tape. I think this is a ticket for all you cross racers who are out there looking for something for the bars.
That's right. And the timing's right. Cross season is fast approaching.
Yeah, so. And like I said, start hitting up your shops, getting them ready to, you know, make the orders. And you can also go online direct to ESI, give them a message, you know, let them know you're interested in it. Tell them you heard it here on Bike Sport Radio. And I think they've got a really good product here. Easy to put on, not like their first generation. They tried to make those fancy, nice, like grab-on foam grippies for the road bikes. I remember those.
Oh, yeah.
Looked like
oversized
grips. That was just too hard to put on. This here, I think they've got it down now.
Sweet. Comes with the plugs too, right? Handlebar plugs.
The plugs and the sealing tape at the end are all included. Like I said, you can stretch it really thin. Like I stretch it real thin at the plugs. Therefore, it goes in really easy. And like I said, you can really tug on this tape. And it takes a lot of force to tear. It's not like a lot of the cork tapes out there where you pull too hard and you're done.
Yeah, we should do a follow-up after we've used this tape for a few months and see how it holds up. And then also a follow-up maybe in the wintertime to see what how the rain
results. I'm hoping. Well, you know, this is SoCal, so who knows what we're going to end up with this winter.
You might have to wait till February for rain.
I know, I'll probably have to wait till February. But, you know, I've ridden it late at night on some dewy days, gloveless. And like I said, you know, I have not felt any lack of traction there on the bars. It's been really, really well thought out. The grooves that are on, it's also got some beveled grooves that kind of help as well. They add some more, you know, to the shock absorption there. And it's a really nice tape. Definitely looking forward to the cyclocross season to get some mud and dirt on there and see how they really perform. I think we got a winner though.
Yeah, tear it up. All right. Looking forward to hearing about it later. So ESI Grips. What's the site?
ESI Racing. Of course I just look up ESI Grips. It's all over the internet. Anybody on a mountain bike, World Cup to pro level, everyone's running the grips now. It's almost the norm.
And of course you can see it at the Interbike show.
Interbike will be there if you're going to Interbike.
End of September.
And then most of the local, like I said, most of the cross country season is over. ESI crew has been really strong and supportive at all the U.S. Cup races. They're, like I said, a local based company. So they're there to support us. And, you know, any problems you have with their product, they're a phone call or email away and they get right back to you. You know, they stand behind what they sell. They've also, the creators, I was trying to get my hand on one of these. One of those self-feed water bottle holders. I guess they're making some adjustments to it, and we should have those out there. You'll see those at the races. They put them next to the race course, next to the tape.
Oh, yeah.
And their water bottles are in there, and you just swing by and grab a water bottle. So, you know, when you don't have a crew with you, it's like the setup. But they're working on a new one, I heard, and I can't wait to see what else they come up with. I mean, they've been around a long time, and they've got some really cool product that, you know, I've kind of like, oh, I remember that product. I remember that. So,
All right.
Very, very cool.
All right. Well, cool. Thanks. ESI Handlebar Tape, a new product out there. Not out yet, but we'll see it soon in the fall. So, hey, you got some results also. I think we had attendance at the...
Very busy couple weeks of mountain bike racing. Yeah.
That's right.
Mountain bike racing. I'm going to start off Over the Hump LA, the final is this Thursday, 6 o'clock, Castaic Lake. Come and join us. For those people who've been on the fence, they've got a true first-timer race. I mean, if you've never, ever, ever raced before, they actually have a category for you. It's a true first-timer just to get your feet wet into the whole concept. You're running the shorter, easier course. And but you know, you don't have to worry about the sandbagging that occurs in a lot of racing. So they really made it family friendly. They got a kids race going off at 5:30. You know, bring the kids. They do a really cool little modified loop. Get out there, and then you know the regular courses: beginner, sport, expert, pro, and whatnot. Usually done within an hour. It's a great workout. Good high intensity. Just it's a fun course. They're running it backwards now, which is it just really changed the whole dynamics of that course we were racing on in the first part. So I think you have a great time out there. Come out. Last race of the season. Greg says it's going to be a party, and knowing him, it's going to be a party. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do on Thursday.
Cool.
And then this past weekend, I was out at Rim Nordic suffering with a few close personal friends. It was the SoCal Mountain stage race up at Rim Nordic, just across from Snow Valley there.
Right, and they had a hill climb and a Super D and a dirt crit and a cross country.
Four races in 2 days, and most of the races occurred on Saturday. Luckily, they were the shorter ones, so you had some time to recover. But yeah, we started off the event with a hill climb, a 2 mile hill climb, and you know, it's drop the flag and go, and fastest to the top. And when we got up there, they turned us around, and we did a Super D back down the hill in the order we finished. So it was an interesting little – you had some time to recover from that effort, and then you turned around and rode the same course back
backwards.
Down with a little change at the end just because they couldn't do it that way. But it was an interesting Super D, actually. I've never done one. I mean, I used to race downhill a long time ago on downhill bikes, but this was a different experience altogether.
Wait, this was your first Super D?
This is my first Super D, and I did one in my class.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Wow.
I got lucky, you know. I'm going to call this weekend lucky. I don't know. It was you know, sadly kind of a low turnout. But it was still good racing. I mean, everybody just raced together against everybody. We were all not going for personal places. We were going for overalls, you know, like, how am I going to finish overall? And we actually made a really good set of friends, which is in any sport, mountain biking especially, you tend to do that. You know, you just start sitting around bench racing after your race, and next thing you know, you got a crowd of like, you know, 10 people sitting there. So, but yeah, we did that. And then we had and then this is what Brad was teasing about earlier. We had a dirt crit. Okay, it was about 10 minutes of full on sprinting around a half mile course right at the base there of the facility. And let me tell you, we're averaging, and I'm a Cat 2 guy, and I'm an older guy. I'm 44 years old, you know, racing age. And we were averaging 15 miles per hour for 10 minutes straight.
On a mountain bike.
When I looked at my Strava, I was going, oh my God, did I just do that? And the only reason I think I did that is because I was chasing the two juniors in front of me. Because they started all the cat, they started you by category. You stayed with you know, all the cat twos, all the cat threes, all the pros. Everybody raced the same, you know, together in their respect. So you were racing for overall. And those two little juniors were playing with us because I was chasing them down as hard as I could. I was sitting behind them. I was like, okay, cool. I like this pace. If we do this all day, it's good because we had already left half the field. All of a sudden, they were sitting there talking to each other. They turned, I swear, around a tree, and they disappeared. And I never saw them again. And I was going as hard. I was redlined trying to catch those little guys. And I finally gave up going, wait a minute, those kids are old enough to be my kids.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it was a good time. I think next year it's definitely on my list of events to do. And it was a great also fundraiser for Mark J. Reynolds' Bike Foundation.
The Mark Reynolds Foundation.
Yeah, they give bicycles away to needy kids. It was a great opportunity to get out there. I got some results.
You got some results?
Yeah,
okay,
I do.
Cool.
It was. Did I mention the XC?
Not yet, but you can go over that.
I'll do that real quick. XC was a blast. That was Saturday after anybody who still had legs showed up. There were a lot of us hurting on Sunday, let me tell you. Anyway, they did a little. They had mercy on us. They gave us 6 miles instead of 8. Took some of the real steep climbs out. Thank God they left one in just to make sure we got our money's worth. And it was a fun XC course. And I got to admit, anybody who's not done any real true cross-country mountain bike racing, you need to go up there and at least just go ride there. It's just a fun place to ride. The race there is even more fun. Bev and the crew just do an awesome job. So let's get to some results here. We're going to look at the Pro Man overall stage results. And coming in with, and it was, like I said, the way a stage race is scored is every event you win, you get points. And then the person at the end of all the stages with the most points wins. A real simple concept. The person in Pro Men, we actually had a real competitive field. They were all close. They were battling just nonstop. John Noble was first. Eli Woody was second. Miguel, I think they spelled it right, but Valadez was third, followed by Romolo Forsino, Steve Kinney, Derek Herman, and Elliot Renicki. Most of those guys, if you know those names, are all from the Big Bear area. So these guys are.
Herman owns a shop.
Yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Owned, Big Bear Cycles or Team, yeah. Big, Team Big Bear Cycles.
Yeah, Team
like
Big
that.
Bear up there.
Yeah, Derek Herman. So
I saw him go by me on one of the races. I just go hi, bye.
He went by real quick.
Huh? He went by. It was a blur. Yeah, that was. It looked like he was on a motorcycle. I was trying to look for the motor though. I couldn't see it. And then let's see. It's going to play that numbers game. Let's pick a...
How about the juniors?
Pick a juniors. All right, let's talk about some juniors here.
We like to give the juniors some good
juniors. Yeah, let's give the juniors here. Junior Cat 1 men, 18 and under. We had one... Yes, I think the stage race concept scared people away. But I'll tell you what, they really missed out because it was a really friendly stage race. Cat 1 men was won by Sage Washabaugh. Cat 2 juniors, these are the guys I was chasing, were won by, first place was won by Michael Sanchez, followed by Nico Neville. I know I slaughtered his name. He'll call me. You can email me. I'll correct it. These two Cat 2s were running as fast as some of those pros.
Wow.
And these two, from what I heard, they race on their high school mountain bike league. So, you high school kids, I hope you guys are training. Someone made a joke up there. They said, you got to be careful with the ones that their shoes match the helmet. And the one who won Cat 2, he had the yellow helmet and the yellow shoes.
That's right.
And that little boy, Michael, that boy was fast.
It's all about the look.
It's it, man. If you got to rock the look, you got to be able to prove you can do it. And then the Cat 3 Junior, we had two of them. Dakota Greer, that little kid is another fast one. I think he's going to be out of Cat 3 real soon. And Trevor Holt, our other two. And then we had some junior women. We had Willow Washabaugh in the Cat 3 women, 14 and under. And I think I don't know if we had any Cat 2 Junior women. No, not this race. Like I said, we had a decent turnout. I think we definitely could use some more people up there next time. I had good racing, perfect weather for up there. Just had a little chill to keep you cool, but the sun warmed you up. I mean, it was like
August. It was actually a little chilly.
It was chilly. It was 43 degrees at night. But when we got there in the morning, it was like, 71, 69, 70. And the sun, it was hot. And the shade, it was cool. It was just perfect weather up there. And then who else do we want to pick on today for some results? Let's see the women. Yes, there were a few women up there who braved the elements with us.
We like dirt-covered women.
We like to cover the women. All right, Brad, that's a different story here. Cat 1 women, Alexandria Fabro. I know her from cyclocross. She says, I'm not going to do that well in cyclocross. Well, you did well this weekend by winning the Cat 1 women, and she was actually up there, too. She was moving pretty good. Cat 2 women, we had quite a few. 30-39 was won by Sarah Alvarado and followed by Kristen Osborne. Women 40-49, Beatrice Dormoy. Sorry for slaughtering that. And Cat 2 women 50 plus was Louise Boyer. And I'm trying to think which one I talked to. I believe Beatrice, who won the Cat 2 Women 40-49, I believe that was her very first race.
Ooh.
Doing that stuff. And nice. She was like, because she was asking me, what should I take out on the cross country course? And I said, water, tubes,
yeah,
tools. So she went out. She had fun. They all did. And then Cat 3 Women, we actually had some. We had the whole Washabal family actually racing. The kids, mom, and dad.
Wow.
And Heather won her division, the women 30-39, in Cat 3. And Cat 3 women 19-29 was won by Caddy and Ninberg, is I believe who that was. And like I said, it was a blast up there, you know. Everybody had a smile on their face. We had lunch. I mean, just great weather. Awesome. And next year, everybody, put it on your calendar. Get out there. Support it. Great cause. Rim Nordic doesn't mess around.
Yeah, that's right.
And
RimNordic.com, right?
Yeah. Upcoming events for them. August 25th is the final of their XC Series. And September 22nd is their Autumn Cup. So another fun, similar to the Fall Classic in Big Bear. You know, we do that last autumn race before it gets too cold.
Right. Before the first snowflakes start coming down.
Hey, I don't mind racing a little bit of snow, you know. It's
trails turn into ski trails instead of mountain bike trails. So.
Yeah, but it was awesome time out there. I want to thank Bev for having the race out there and the whole team up there. Just amazing group. Ran into some old friends I haven't seen in years. Diane. And then Kenny, I think, is a... I can't remember. I'm horrible with names. If I don't write it down, I forget. But anyways, I also did some plug-ins. So everybody up there in the Big Bear area, I hope you're all listening. And it was, as usual, you guys, your hospitality up there is just great. Look forward to going back up there. And we'll see you guys soon.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, you got any results? Any more results? Over the hump results?
No, over the hump results are all posted online. There were so many, I couldn't get those all down in time.
Yeah. Are you going to attend to the last one?
I will be at the last one because I'm in the points battle for that. I'm not going to say points battle. I'm in a personal points battle for myself. I want to finish every series I enter. I want to finish in at least the top 10 overall. I didn't get to do it in the U.S. Cup due to some financial and just... things just didn't work to get me to all the events. But with Rim Nordic, I concentrated on this series. I'm actually in fourth right now overall. And for some mysterious reason, at LA, at the Over the Hump LA, I jumped up to Super Sport because I wanted the extra hill training. It's a training race, so I decided I want to do the extra hill climbs. Somehow I'm in the top 10 in Super Sport. I have no clue. Consistency. Because half the time I'm just watching. I'm bringing up the tail of the group. But somehow I think just consistency is playing the game here. You know, that's just you know, the tortoise and the hare. I just keep plugging along. So, yeah, we'll definitely be there for the party. Come by, say hi, look for me. I'm on my black Bailey 29er, and I'll be racing a Team Ape jersey. So say hi.
All right. Looking forward to that. Over the hump this Thursday in Castaic. All right. Thanks, Robert. Okay, so bike sport racing continues, all about bike racing. Bike racers and what you need to race bikes. We got some recordings. We had a chance to interview the promoter of the Mount Whitney stage race, Steve. And also got some sounds from the Mount Whitney stage race, as well as some cool sounds of the Big Orange Goes Urban Ride right here on Bike Sport Radio. So sit back and enjoy. Yep. Bike Sport Radio's here at the Mount Whitney Stage Race, Stage 1, which is actually Stage 2, correct?
Stage 1 is actually Stage 2, but that means that Stage 2 is Stage 1, so there's a sort of a conservation law at work here.
Okay, cool. Conservation of stages. What do we got in store today, Steve?
Well, we've got some climbing, Brad, and that won't surprise anybody, but we're going to be doing a lap around the Alabama Hills and then another half lap. And then we're going to shoot up to Horseshoe Meadows, and shoot up is sort of a euphemism. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. A couple of guys will be shooting up. The rest of us will kind of be sprinting up, maybe.
Sprinting, exactly. The Seth Davidson term for what I was doing yesterday. I was hoping to sprint. I was trying to sprint. I was wishing I could sprint some more. But yeah, it was really hard. It was windy yesterday. Shouldn't be windy today because it'll be a lot earlier than we were out there yesterday.
Yeah, it's awesome right now. The weather's just awesome right now. So
it's
great.
Almost perfect. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, looking forward to lining up soon in a minute. All right. Thanks.
That's
good job.
Right. We're queuing up. Thanks so much for having us.
All right.
Great. That's Mr. Mike Smith behind you on the motorcycle. He's the motor ref. He's going to yell at you if you're doing stuff he doesn't like. Try to keep you going the right direction and take care of you if there's trouble. That's Kim. You probably know Kim. She's going to lead you out. The first 0.7 mile is neutral. What that means is that you're not racing to the stop sign. I want you to stop at the stop sign. She's going to drive ahead of you once she shows you the couple of turns. And stop you at the stop sign, make sure it's clear and goes, that way everybody gets across the stop sign, both at the same time and when there's no traffic coming. So that's what Kim's going to do, and she knows how to do that. You guys know how to do that, too. Once you're there, you're on Tuttle Creek Road, once you cross the street there, and that's where the racing begins. You're going to go about 6 miles down Tuttle Creek, then you hit a T-intersection. There are signs there, you turn right. The word for the day is T-intersection, turn right. And of course, there's one exception at the end of that, but here you are, you're going south, Tunnel Creek, T-intersection, you turn right. You go to 4 mile up, T-intersection, that's Horseshoe Meadows Road, you turn right again. Now you're going north. You're going to go north another 5 or 6 miles. T-intersection, that's the one where the money is. That's the important one. That's the one where the permit people are seriously concerned. Concern's the nicest word I can come up with on short notice. But the permit people really, really, really are going to be excited if we don't stop at the stop sign. Excited means that we won't have permits anymore, like for anywhere. So you're going to have to actually stop at the stop sign. I know you've probably never actually done that in real life, but that's going to be me, yeah. That's going to be me there saying, okay, this is it, this is it, this is it. Because if you stop, so here's the funny story. One day, the guy that was coming right over the rise there, when people went ripping right through that stop sign, was a CHP sergeant in his old VW Chevy truck. You can imagine how that went 2 years later, and I'm still apologizing for that. So that's how that works. If you want to have permits next year, we kind of like doing this, then that's what has to happen. Everybody does it. Everybody gets the same treatment. So then that's the T-intersection at Whitney Portal. You're going to turn right and come down Whitney Portal a couple of miles. It's really fast. That's the place where you have to make a right turn without a T-intersection. You're going to be on Whitney Portal, and then you're going to turn right on Tuttle Creek. That's right where you started. But it looks different coming down the hill, right? So there's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 signs there. There's going to be a couple of chalk arrows on the road. There's not going to be somebody standing there. If you miss it, you'll end up downtown here. You know, so you'll know right away, but that's the one you have to make on Tuttle Creek. Then you're on to the second lap. Down Tuttle Creek, 6 miles, T-intersection, turn right and left through Canyon. You're starting to get used to this T-intersection turn right thing, right? Right when you get used to it, it changes. Because the second time you go up Lufkin Canyon and you tee into Horseshoe Meadows, you're going to turn right and go up Horseshoe Meadows. Good grief, I said it wrong. The second time you get to Horseshoe Meadows, you're going to tee into Horseshoe Meadows, just like you did the first time. You're going to turn in the correct direction, which is left.
And you've got an arrow there, right?
And there's going to be an arrow there. And the arrows will be the right direction the first time, and they'll be the left direction the second time. Because Kim's going to drive right up in front of you guys and turn the little plastic signs over.
So it's actually the same turn, but you're going to turn here.
It's exactly the same sign, the same intersection, and just signs are going to point the other direction. At that point, you've got 2.5 miles switchback, you got 1.7 miles for the next switchback. That's where the feed is. You got to be 25.6 miles into the 34 miles, and then you just keep going up. Bottles, gels, electrolytes, half a banana, things like that at the feed. Questions?
Yeah, it's 34.
Is it 39 miles? 34. It's not 39 miles. It's 25.6 to the feed, and it should be 34 total.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
We're going to do the lunch down here at the park. Get a ladies' pool, ranch in pool, but we're doing it here. That's a long story. We don't have time for a long story. Yes, sir. Lunch good? Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you so much for being here. Great to work without you guys.
35 plus and Cat 123s rolling out. Mount Whitney stage race, stage one.
Woo, Louis Amble, bro.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even know it. I bought this like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Finisher!
They seem like they're fine.
Put your hands together. Woo! Wow!
Oh. Watch the cars.
All finishers on stage two.
I've been sick, man.
That's all right.
Didn't have a good day.
The motorcade. Okay, Bike Sport Radio's here on Big Orange Goes Urban. Haven't done this on the bike in a long time, so I hope I don't crash here. But David Karen, the organizer. What's in store for us today?
I haven't done this before. I just wanted to do the LA River Bike Path. So we're going to end up there, going to head into Long Beach, and back home up to the South Bay. We're going through a pretty interesting part of town here.
Yeah, very cool. We did a Bayona bike path and Exposition Boulevard, which had a nice bike lane. And where are we now?
Vernon? Somewhere between LA, probably approaching Vernon, on Vernon Avenue.
All right, very cool.
Pretty distorted streets this morning.
Yes, Sunday morning is nice to ride in the city. That's right.
We're going to get a freight train coming by here, it looks like. Or maybe it's the Blue Line.
Yeah, we're approaching the Blue Line, I think. The Long Beach Blue Line?
Blue Line. Long Beach Avenue.
All right, we'll have some train sounds for you in a second here. It'll probably blast this microphone to bits. There we go, Long Beach Avenue. So, any minute now, we should be getting on the LA Riverbed shortly on Bike Sport Radio. Passing into the city of Vernon here over the Alameda Corridor on the Big Orange Urban Ride. All right, Bike Sport Radio has concluded its rest stop at, where do we go, that Berlin?
Cafe Berlin.
Cafe Berlin in Long Beach, and now we're sitting here in Wilmington taking a break for John Tchaikovsky. With a big blowout. So, what do you think, David? Fun ride?
Yeah, but I thought this was supposed to be the good road, Brad. Pretty bumpy. We almost got swallowed by a crack in the road there, and we had a blowout.
Luckily, we were on the road that has no cars, as opposed to the road that has cars and is just as crappy. So, but yeah, we'll be hitting the Perry Bridges Boulevard. That's nice and smooth there. So. And then you guys are going back to the kettle? Or?
I'm headed back to my area. A little bit cool north, 5 miles north of, over in Westchester.
Cool.
And so it'll be by about 70-ish miles for me.
Sweet. Yeah, this was a fun ride. I really liked it. You did a good job here.
Oh, well, thanks. Don't want to do something different, you know. Going up PCH every day, it's a pretty ride, but we wanted something different today, so.
Yeah. If this were PCH and we were sitting there and the cars were whizzing by at 90, it wouldn't be as comfortable. Here we got some nice grass, we got the Port of LA and everything. So, thanks for organizing the ride, man.
My pleasure. Hope we can do it again.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio Live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right, that's right. Thanks for listening to another show of Bike Sport Radio. And remember, when you're out there and you encounter a bicyclist, don't treat us like a criminal. Cycling is not a crime. Check out our project at cyclingisnotacrime.org and drive your bike like you would a car. We'll see you next time on Bike Sport Radio.